as we normally do, we just take time to maybe ruminate a little bit. As I was thinking about this and this week and about our gathering together today, and as I read through He That Is Spiritual, it just helped recalibrate me to be thinking about some of the things that was presented today. And so, Dan, whatever thought you have, it's fine. It doesn't have to be.
Well, it was I thought about it when you said that, talking about the, you know, just the work of the cross, and you just said that to God, all of it's positive. And I think you may have mentioned this to us before, but I heard a fellow on the radio talking about Johnny Erickson Tada, and she just spoke in Finger Lakes here. I heard him on the radio, so I'm not sure how recently, but I think you commented. The comment that struck him so much was the fact that that Johnny said, God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And then, of course, he recounted her life and all that had happened, and the fact that she said she wouldn't give up that time. She would not give up all that she's gone through, which has produced a kind of intimacy and knowledge with God. She would not give up all those years, 40-some-odd years of being a paraplegic. She'd not give it up because of the intimate fellowship that she had with God. And it's just a tragedy. So God doesn't love the fact that she's a paraplegic.
No.
And that's where I think she was able to bring in. And I thought about the dissociation. God permits that which he hates. He must hate. Absolutely, all of that. Yet he permits it to accomplish that which he loves.
He loves most.
Yeah. Which, and we've talked about it before. It's like the black that a jeweler lays out before he puts the precious diamonds down to be viewed. And so the backdrop of that, which is allowing the consummation of this age, which will produce in the end the man-child or the morning star, will produce that which in at that point in time will be a bride prepared, and that the Lord Jesus will come back to yeah. take to himself.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing when you look at wood, hay, and stubble versus gold, silver, precious stones in Corinthians. It does say silver there, doesn't it?
Gold, silver,
yeah.
precious stones.
Well, isn't that interesting? Silver is mentioned there at Corinth, but when you get to the heavenly city, there's gold and precious stones, but no silver. So what's happened? You're now in the full definition of what was in the mind of God before time began, with no view of the fall. This is my goal, what is displayed typically in the heavenly city. Redemption silver is no longer there because it was... I never intended sin from my heart. I allowed it, and I had to bring the provision of redemption, the silver. But once I have what I want, that which represents the silver is not seen in eternity, only the gold of the perfection of the divine nature and the manifestation of those perfections in terms of all those gems that represent the body and bride of the glorified wife of the Lamb. It's amazing. So that's why I've said, when you look at the heavenly city, you don't see any Corinthians there. Although they're there. Because they're saints. You just don't see them. In terms of the revelation of the perfections of the bride in the heavenly city in Revelation 21, 22. So what does that tell us? I want that which represents, which can be seen, to be seen in me in this life, which is the testimony of Jesus. So any...
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Simon.
Here you go.
As I listened this morning, and there's things that, you know, the Lord is teaching me to be at a place that it's okay to be where I'm at. And I don't have to feel spiritual. I don't have to feel like I have an understanding of even what's going on. And as I was thinking about when we talk about Judaism, we're trying to come out of Judaism. Well, none of us were actually practicing Jews that I know of. And yet, when I think about that, there's aspects of us that we come through, and depending on what our background is, what kind of religious background it is, it's all a form of Judaism. It's the kind of thing that you're trying to get out of. And it's a bondage that we don't even know we're in. And until the Lord does things to us, or brings things in our paths. And then we talk a lot about the cross. And so we're trying to live from the other side of the cross. The Statler brothers have a song like that. Have you lived from the other side of the cross? I've heard that a number of times the last while. And so we hear statements and so forth, you know, and like Dan mentioned about John Erickson, you know, God allows things that which he hates to bring us to that which that he wants to bring his fullness in us. And so we hear and we see, you know, so we somehow we can see that in Johnny Erickson, see how she's, you know, how the Lord has done there. But then there's times then that when it comes and it hits us. And what's hit my wife? What's hit Jennifer Diane? What the life that the Lord, you know, to say it's the Lord's will, no, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that the Lord, if we allow him to, instead of becoming resentful, bitter, and even demeaning, he said, God, you know, you're bigger than this. Yeah, he is bigger than this, but we're not. He's trying to bring us onto that bigger ground. And anything and everything that we go through, and how we support each other in prayer, and knowing that the Lord of Lords, and he's still Lord of Lords, and he's still King of Kings, and he's still the Almighty God in the lowest of the valley that we're in. Whether or as well as on the mountaintop. Another song that I love. He's still the same God in the valley. He's the same God in the mountaintops. Yeah. And it's so hard sometimes when we're in the valley to see that. And especially even when we see other people going through things that are painful, we wish we could fix. But we need to release them to God. So that God can do what he wants to do in them. And in doing what he does in them, he does in us. If we're willing to come alongside and not be judgmental or anything in any way, shape, or form, demeaning God through it. But we're praising God in it. Not for it, but in it. Yes. To be growing up. To be pushing forward. And what my wife is experiencing, and what it's been doing for me to stay focused on Jesus Christ. And my guess is that as I'm next to my wife and seeing her going through that, I'm sure Sal is going through the same thing when she was Jennifer Diane. She knows all the pain. She sees all the agony. But then there's God. And that's who we have to trust them for, ourselves for. That is God. And that's in this life, in the disciplines of life, is how Judaism gets eradicated out of us. And that's what we're pushing forward to.
And for us, it could be some form or artifact of what we were once practicing in terms of Christian religion.
Right. Anyone have any other thoughts? Yes, go ahead, Sarah.
I don't know how I can come behind that, what I've been said. But just a comment too, just is even more so, I think the Lord is placing the emphasis on the absolute need to live out the source of the new man. And that is where life is. Even if there's death all around, that's where life is. And, you know, we finished, Diane and I read again today the third chapter of those articles that you sent out and the church corporate. Yeah. And see that in the church corporate, and we prayed that the Lord has given us revelation and praying it into existence, laying hold of the Lord and praying that as we come into that life of Christ in a corporate realm, like what you guys were saying, then that there, I don't believe dissociation can be here. I don't believe the enemy can be here. I really don't. It's not just about a couple people in our midst. It's about us. It's about us and coming into that measure of who Christ is, that the enemy cannot remain. And so I believe that. I've believed it with my being, praying that into being. And I see 10 years, what the Lord has done from 10 years to now. It's quite amazing. But I know listening to this today, even just as a personal testimony, and even what Dan shared around Johnny Erickson, I've thought about that many times too, that God allows the very least amount for that which I need in order to come into resurrection life. And so including the SRA, including everything else, I think, man, I must have been a real hard nut to crack. And there's no pride in that because of the disciplines that he has put us through. And it's just like, ooh, just to see that. Gosh, I mean, it's really quite horrific to see the pressure that it takes for me to individually come under that ground. But I came to a point, and Doug even gave me permission. All right, after 19 years of going on and on and on and on, is like Doug seeing no end in sight to the dissociation and no end. It's like counseling after counseling. And he's like, he's been done I don't know how many times. Everybody was done with me I don't know how many times. And finally he said to me, it's okay. If you're dissociated till Christ come, it's okay with me. And I'm like, oh, it's like that was a joke. Well, Lord, that can't be. Because all the pressure, from you is like, okay, we're going to attain to something or just counsel long enough, hard enough, do whatever it is. And then finally realize, wait a minute, that's the old man. I can be counseling until the day he returns. And that is in the soul. That is the old man. That is the old man. And so with the pressure and everything that is there, it's like, oh, all right, Lord, it's time to begin out of the source of that new man. While in the midst of counseling, while in the midst of my dissociation, all right, Lord, you've got to do something here because I can't integrate myself. I cannot make an end. And as far as I know, I'm going to continue to walk out the door unless I live out of the source of that new man and that new life. Because in Christ, you're not an idolater. You're not prideful. You haven't joined yourself to Baal and all of this stuff. So the only solution is Christ and changing my man. Because in Adam, I've got my fill of the old Adamic nature and saw what I'm capable of doing. And sharing that a little bit with Julie last night of just, this nature will not change. This is the best that I could do. Is idolatry. That is it. That's all I have to offer. Even in my dissociation trying to resolve it is not God's way. And so that really began that anchor of, I mean, it took the tremendous depths of pressure of moving here and all that which was going on here to really, really push me into Christ, because there was no way out. I'm going to change my circumstances, do this, do that, get everybody understand where I'm coming from. It's like, no, nobody understood. I couldn't change my circumstances. Finally, down at the very end, the only way out is Christ. He's it. He's my deliverer. And coming to that conclusion, Jesus Christ can deliver me out of this dissociation. It's like, you'll do it. And I can't even look back at a time and say, whoa, okay, well, he just did it. He just did it. He just did it.
And even though the process of getting to him doing it, there was a process, but when you look back, you can't say, well, that was the day.
That's right. I can't.
You just did it.
There was a day when I said, all right, Lord, this is apart from you.
Yeah.
There is really. It's going to continue. Yeah. And finish that.
Yeah, I appreciate what everyone shared. Just in view of where the Lord has us and what we're going to be looking at together in the assembly. You know, you've heard of the tremendous onslaught of what my son is going through in his marriage. Obviously, there's an abuse background there, and in her, and the transference has been very powerful and energized. He's been persecuted big time, and whenever he starts going on with the Lord, he would retreat. It was gone on back and forth for a number of years, and finally when I was led by the Lord to say, let's go to Ellerslie and go to a Mighty Man men's conference, that was a jump start that is still having effect. And to see what God has been doing in his life and building into his life as he has been laying hold of the Lord in the midst of the wretched state and condition that he is in this marriage relationship. So he sent an email the other day, because Lori says, because he called and says, all hell's breaking loose, and, you know, she's kind of switched back to more of that persecution kind of a role and mode. And Lori sent her something about some critters, you know, Mark just loves little animals, so. Turtles, yeah. And so Lori says, how are you doing, Mark? How are things going? He wrote back, I am very blessed to know that I have a God who loves and cares enough for me to put me through this purifying process. It is the only way for him to rid my flesh and everything that is not of him. How are you, Lori? Isn't that amazing? That's tremendous. I want to share something about Moses, but I think I'll pause in case someone has any other thoughts or comments about what was presented today. Yes.
No comment. Just question.
Okay, what's your question, honey? You know, the New Testament talks about perseverance. The last attribute of divine love is love endures all things, hupomeno, remains under, bears up under in a manly way the pressures, the assaults of life we endure. Like it says in Revelation chapter 1, I, John, your fellow brother, and I want to make sure I don't misquote it. He says, I, John, your fellow brother, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation kingdom perseverance, that would be the correct translation, which are in Christ, in Jesus, it's in him, on the Isle of Patmos, a penal colony, a labor camp, something that would be after the analogy of North Korean camps, penal colony, in the pressure, the kingdom, and perseverance which are in Jesus. So, if you look up hupomone, we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, and we see, Paul says, if we persevere in fellowship with him, we shall soon bazalu, shall reign as kings with him. So perseverance and reigning and kingdom are codependent there, juxtaposed. So, we endure with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, that is, we choose not to endure, he will deny us. What? Kingship. Can't deny salvation. If we deny him, he'll deny us. If we are unfaithful, that is, we deny him, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself, and we're a part of himself. When he says he can't deny himself, we are. Ephesians chapter 5, the husband, it says, he who loves his wife loves himself. This is a great mystery. I'm speaking with Christ in the church. So the church is a part of himself. Okay. All right, so this whole matter of endurance, I thought, you know, there's so many passages on hupomeno and hupomone, perseverance and endurance. But there's one word that's found in the New Testament that is not hupomeno, that describes endurance. And I've been thinking about it for some time, and I thought, well, I will just do a little more research in this. And it has to do with Moses. And in Moses, We see in Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, Hebrews 11 and verse 24, when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he was the next in line to become the king or Pharaoh of Egypt. Choosing, he refused, verse 4. Those are action verbs. By choosing rather to endure ill treatment of the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering, refused, choosing, considering the reproach of the Messiah, which he was identified with, in the wilderness, with those children of Israel, considering the reproach of the Messiah, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking and anticipating the reward. By faith, he left, he refused, he chose, considering, looking, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the fast Passover. He endured. That's not hupomeno. That word is, I won't go into other derivatives, the apostles persevered in prayer. Word of persevered, Colossians 4:2, in prayer. Persevere. It's a different word. And so we'll just look at it briefly. And just note the term, as that one verb only occurs there in the entire New Testament. It's kartereo. K-A-R-T-E-R-E-O is the transliteration. It means to be strong or steadfast or persevere. But it's a different word than hupomeno. And I'm reading from Volume 2 of the Dictionary of New Testament Theology, edited by Colin Brown. I actually purchased this in 1979. It's a very well known research tool, I might say, on the New Testament. It's a minimized version of Kittel, the Kittel's Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. So here we have the word kartereo. It's found only in Hebrews 11:27, describing the faith of Moses. And according to Hebrews 11:1-3, faith is a persuasion. It's the substantiation. It's the substantiating which is wrought by God, as seeing him who is invisible, Hebrews 11:6. The kind of endurance which clings tenaciously and expectantly to the invisible God makes possible that attitude of faith exemplified by Moses, whom Christian readers are to emulate. Moses, as seeing him who is invisible. He didn't see God. So by faith, he persevered. Endurance. He clung tenaciously and expectantly to the invisible God. Which means you have to know the character of God to cling to the visible God. A commentator by the name of Whitaker mentions this. That is, Moses maintained a fixed, unmoved gaze. Thus the verse would mean that Moses kept his eyes on the invisible as one who saw. God sees. He knows it all. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. He kept his eyes on him who saw. Not only him who is invisible, but he who sees. And so we see other variations of that verb. It says constancy and perseverance are particularly important in the Christian life. Enduring faith, as described in Hebrews 11:27, which characterized Moses, has to be complemented by constancy in prayer. Hence the apostles' earnest exhortations to Christians in Romans 12:12, Colossians 4:2, persevere in praying. And in Christ, which echoes Christ's teaching of how to persevere in prayer in Luke 11:1-13 and Luke 18:1-8. Acts also uses the word proskartereo, which is intensified form, to denote the spiritual attitude of the early church. The small flock of disciples offered continuous prayer. They persevered in prayer with one accord there on Pentecost in preparation for the promised filling of the Holy Spirit. And so they persevered in the apostles' teaching and the prayers and the fellowship, and breaking bread and fellowship. So in the early church, the experience of Pentecost produced Christians of great constancy and purpose. Immediately after Pentecost, they continued with one accord in the tent. The word continued, they persevered, Acts 2:46. And so, there's another derivative of this term, proskateresis, in the New Testament. That is found only in Ephesians 6:18. And here too, Christians are encouraged to persevere in prayer for all saints, and especially for me, Paul said, in prayer and supplication. This supplication is to be made in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit means the Holy Spirit must govern and is to include the apostle in those prayers. Ephesians 6:18 compared with Colossians 4:2 and 3. To the end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication with all the saints, and also for me, Paul says. With these solemn words, the apostolic injunction receives the emphasis which its importance demands. So there's just some comments on that. So we trust the Lord to continue to build that into us. And if there hadn't been some measure of that in each one of us, both personally and collectively, we would not be gathered here together today. So we thank the Lord for that, because it's in Him. We commit this to you, Father, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.